troublesome waters, much blacker than night, are hiding from view the harbor's bright lights. Tossed in the turmoil of life's stormy sea, I cried to my Savior, have mercy on me. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat and safely to land, leading the way to heaven's bright shore. Troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more.
Welcome to the Watchman Weekly. I'm Bob Garrity. I'm joined with co-hosts Chris Ardern and Bill Johnson. The Watchman Weekly can be found at WatchmanWeekly.com. Good evening, audience. Tonight we have a guest. It is Pete Wilson from TruthInScripture.com. And I encourage you, if you've never gone to Pete's site, that it is some of the most edifying multimedia. Pete has a couple videos. He has an audio archive featuring Milton Green, who we... Bill, would you say Milton Green was a 144,000?
Of all the preachers that I've ever listened to, and I'm talking about, you know, just people that can preach. I can't preach. I don't know how to do that. I was never gifted with that gift. But just publicly preach, I've never... to me, Milton Green's the best that I've ever listened to.
Yeah, I agree.
And I would say that only saying 144,000 post his death, because I believe that he was just a, carried the spirit.
Was he remnant? I'm quite sure that he was remnant. There's no question in my mind. Right, absolutely.
And also what you'll find, audience, is the Pete has put together scriptural videos on some prophetic doctrine that is not taught in the apostate churches, and it's the proper rendering of Scripture. And when we're doing our discussion after the current events, I'm sure you're going to enjoy our guest. Chris, let's go to current events. And Pete, please introduce yourself and join us for current events for a roundtable.
Well, great. Thank you, Bob and everybody. It's my pleasure to be here. I've been greatly edified by myself, by this website and this weekly show, and it's just an honor and a privilege for me to be here and to hear from these three gentlemen, and hopefully add a few nuggets of wisdom myself, and as we edify each other. As certainly the days are getting short, and we need to keep our hearts and minds focused on the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Chris?
Yeah, well, I've got tonight, just something that happened a couple weeks ago, you know, and that was the Obama addressing the 9/11 memorial service. And he read the 46th Psalm, you know, and it's like, what in the world is he doing reading the 46th Psalm? And, you know, as I started really studying it and just kind of, and I have no idea everything that's going on here, but there's definitely a cryptic message involved with this event. And you know, this I studied the psalm, and in it is you know, tribulation. You know, the mountains shaking. You know, and the waters roar and be troubled. You know, he's definitely putting out some kind of a cryptic New Age message with this thing. Why, you know, what is a guy like Obama doing reading the 46th Psalm? And you know, this is definitely a piece of scripture that the New Agers used and twist to, you know, to justify their agenda. But, you know, one thing that caught me was God shall help her, and that right early, you know, and that, that's translated dawn. You know, the right early is, you know, H 1242 in the Strong's, and it's properly dawn as the break of day. You know, I could definitely see something there with this. You know, Obama's all about the dawn of the new day. You know, that was his campaign, you know, insignia during the 2008 election, and this the crusades going on in the Middle East right now are well, something dawn. I can't even remember what they call that over there, but it's all the New World Order. You know, this thing is in full gallop. And, you know, the dawn of the new day is the Antichrist one world government. I mean, that's the New Agers term for this New World Order, which
right.
is...
They'll take everything of Jesus and twist it backwards. I mean, Jesus is the bright morning star.
Right.
Even back in Revelation was the evening and the morning were the first day. You know, the light comes in the morning, and when the light comes, it consumes all darkness. So now you have the darkness calling itself light there as well. Really what they're saying, Chris.
Right, and that's exactly what they do. You know, these guys know scripture too, but they twist it. You know, and verse 6 says, the heathen raged and the kingdoms were moved and he uttered his voice, the earth melted. I mean, this is what Obama's reading, you know, on this memorial service. And then, you know, this is the favorite verse of all that the New Agers just embrace. And that's Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. You know, this is, you know, they're saying that, thinking that they are becoming enlightened, you know, little gods. And, and this is, you know, and believe me, I have no idea what all was involved here, but there was a cryptic message sent out through this, address. Something to be aware of. I mean, this thing's in our face. I mean, there's no question about it. You know, coupled with you know, the cover of Newsweek last year when Obama was that Hindu god destroyer, and you know they're up to something here, and I think it's sooner than later that we're going to see something happen. And I'm just throwing that out there, not to be a doomtard. You know, we're all about, you know, putting our hope in the Lord, and all these things just point me to my Savior and the hope that I have, and you know, the hope of glory. You know, Jesus' return, and this is what all this does to me, and I hope it does to you, the listener, because I don't want to, you know, impose fear upon you, but this is real. You know, this is real. It's happening. You know, our government is completely controlled by the Luciferian, Freemasonic, New Age, global agenda, and it's here. So with that, that's all I really have, other than the fact that there's another thing I heard, too, about just the you know, Tony Blair, on behalf of J.P. Morgan, you know, they've got the documentation where he went over to Libya, you know, before the attacks, you know, trying to get them to join the, you know, this is all about money. It's all about the global economy, the global currency, and you know, Gaddafi wouldn't go along with the. With the IMF and the, you know, the international currency, and
who's Tony Blair tied tightly to? Obviously,
Catholic Church,
the Pope, right?
Right, and it's all those documents are out now that you know that they went over there before the attack, you know, negotiating with Gaddafi, and you know he wouldn't go along with it, and that's the reason we invaded Libya. You know, not these lies that the mainstream media is spewing about that. And, you know, that's what they're doing. You know, they're just all these rogue nations that aren't going along with the New World Order. They're just basically, you know, one at a time, as much as the military-industrial complex can keep up with, you know, absorbing them into this system.
The story is Gort in that movie. That's Gort.
That's Gort.
He's just going around the world. America's the dumb beast. America's been the dumb beast since the Civil War. And we just do the bidding for Great Britain, who does the bidding for the Vatican.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And as the weeks go by, I see that more and more clearly, Bill. And it's amazing how that is, you know. As I woke up and I realized the Zionists were, you know, a big part of this agenda. And, you know, one of the first radio shows I did was when I went on Gordon Comstock's Ministry of Truth. And, you know, he's the first one to really present the Knights of Malta and the Jesuits to me. And I said, as I've come to realize now, you know, two years later, you know, he was right. He was right. They're definitely the ones up in the top of that pyramid calling the shots. And the Zionists, Rothschild Zionists are basically just following the agenda. And they're really the ones that are out there being demonized in the media, you know, for their purpose, you know, and how it all plays out, it's going to be real interesting, but it's not good, you know, it's just not good. I mean, you know, the deception is bad now, and it is just going to continue. That's why it's so important for us to just be so have the word hidden in our heart so that the Lord can, you know, reveal the truth with the Holy Spirit to us in these dark, dark times.
What you needed to be is, you know, the Jesus Christ in your heart, and you're ruling and reigning in the Spirit. As far as the flesh world, the flesh, it's a chessboard out there. They got we're not even the pawns. We're the fuel for the pawns.
Yeah.
In the flesh. But the only way we rule and reign is through the Spirit.
Bill, we have the Greek
economy. I was being a little bit deceiving that they might be, we might see something tomorrow on this Greek thing. I don't know if it's an absolute, but
well, it's not a matter of if it's when.
Once it starts to spread through Italy and Portugal and Spain and France and Ireland, what a mess this is. The U.S. is actually bailing them out now. It's going to be everything's going to be bailed out with U.S. dollars anyway. It's the only country that can just print.
Keep printing.
Yeah. I would mention before the pre-show that we have $4 billion a day, just $4 billion a day, just in the national debt. I mean, that's just mind-boggling. And that's not counting everything else, the Social Security, the Medicare, and all of that, whatever, Medicaid. This is just strictly the national debt is $4 billion a day. And you basically got zero growth economy. I mean, you know, they can pretend around, twist the numbers around, but there's really not any growth. It's in a decline.
And that's what was so significant this week with Bernanke's announcement on Tuesday. You know, he said that we're in trouble, and you know that was huge when the mainstream media comes out and says the economy's in trouble. You know it's in trouble. I mean, they've been just lying through their teeth for so long.
Right. And at some point, it's like you can't, you know, they can't tell you that the king is no longer naked anymore, you know.
Yeah, and that's right. Yeah, the lies can stop working. And
every last jihad.
There's a little association there with that. The hail sweeps away the lies at some point.
Yes.
And it, you know, it kind of works through the whole system besides just the church level.
And it's safe to say, gentlemen, that nothing is going to get better.
Job. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Pete.
I was just going to say, I mean, clearly the days are evil, and I see nothing in Scripture that tells us it's all going to bounce right back up. And so clearly we've got to get our houses in order, get our foundations established, and we've got to be standing on that rock. I mean, there's so, you know, one of the things I've been just amazed. I see so many people mesmerized by, you know, all this bad news certainly can capture your heart. You can basically certainly be fearful and look in the natural, in the flesh, be worried about a lot of things. You know, your money in the bank, is your bank going to be there tomorrow? Is it going to close its doors? Your job, I mean, all, you know, is a comet going to fall from the sky? You know, all these various things. And so it's just, you know, the days are clearly, we're in the end times, and you know, to me, it's just a reminder for us all that if we, you know, if we read our newspapers, you know, clearly it can work yourself into a frenzy and be fearful of a lot of things in the world. But remember what Jesus told us to not fear anything else but Him. That He's the one that He's the one that holds the keys to eternal judgment, and that's the one we should fear, and all these things in the world we should not fear. We should trust in Him and trust in Him alone for our security and our stability and to survive here and to endure to the end. And we can't put our trust in anything else, and so many people have their trust in other things that it may be Jesus plus these other things, and those other things are going to be torn down. You know, those strongholds are going to be knocked to the ground, and the only thing that's going to be left is who's standing on Jesus.
Amen.
Pete, we've been doing the Thousand-Year Reign series. Would you like to add to that for the audience a different perspective?
Well, I would just say, we've had a lot of arguments about this, and, I don't by any means profess to have all this end-time doctrine figured out to a T. Obviously, I've shared my perspective as you guys have shared yours, and, obviously with Scripture to back it up, we're just not, making it up in a vacuum. But, clearly, I don't want to repeat what some of the things you guys have taught and done such a good job on, but, clearly we're reigning now. I mean, I look at, Paul said in Ephesians, I think 2:6, that we're seated in the heavenlies today if Jesus Christ is your Lord. So, we have to start taking our scissors out and cutting a lot of stuff out of the Bible. I look at, Chris and I, we've talked about Revelation 11, where, people look at that come up hither as a rapture kind of a verse. And, I view that more of just an extension of what Paul said in Ephesians 2, that we're, if Jesus is our Lord, spiritually speaking, not physically, we're still standing on this earth, but in the spirit, and, our spirits are what's saved for the day of salvation, not our fleshly body. We're already seated in the heavenlies. And so, we have authority today. Jesus has a kingdom today. So, we're ruling and reigning in that kingdom today, and Jesus is already sitting on the throne. And, does that mean that, I definitely don't see a millennium reign, that I think the last day is the last day. The earth's going to melt with fire, and I look at, we could digress into all that, and so clearly, we have to basically change our understanding of what the last day is. And when Jesus comes back for his bride, that there must be a lot more days after the last day. So I think clearly, millennium reign is, you guys have done a great job exposing the origins of that and how that, is tied into the pre-trib rapture doctrine. And but clearly, if we're not ruling, you're ruling and reigning today if Jesus is your Lord, whether you know it or not. But it's a whole lot better walk when you take the weapons that he gave you and you actually act with the authority that you've already been granted from the victory Jesus already won for you. So, you can still be saved through fire, but you're not going to be living a victorious life, overcoming the enemy and being a good soldier for God if you're not grabbing and seizing that authority that he's given us.
Amen.
Bill?
Yeah, I couldn't say it better. Put it in that condensed version, absolutely. I can't find any days that Jesus talked about after the last day.
No. And audience, I bring this up only.
Actually, I might add.
Go ahead.
Chris had mentioned something to me earlier this week that this idea even of a church age, so to speak. You want to expound on that for what you told me, Chris, on that? How you were viewing that?
Well, I was challenged.
The term itself, like you were telling me.
Yeah, I was challenged by this a guy that I have encountered here over the last couple of weeks, and exciting. The guy, he's really a nice guy that's pretty grounded in the dispensational thought, and but he presented the idea to me that there was never any prophecy of the church in the Old Testament, and I thought, that's interesting. Yeah, you're. So I've been pondering that, and then it dawned on me, that's because there is no church. I mean, the church is, it's on this rock I will build my congregation, if you will. That's what Jesus was saying. And really, the church is born again Israel. It's Israel that is in the spirit now, whose law is written on their heart. The everlasting covenant that is written on Israel's heart. Well, that's who we call the church, but it really isn't anything. It's just, after the cross, the Holy Spirit is We're walking in the Spirit, and right. That's what the church is. And it's like this doctrine has become such a huge monster, when in fact it's just the fact that the Holy Spirit is now guiding God's elect, God's people, and allowing the Gentiles to come in to this body that He calls Israel. You know, and that's it, really.
That's very well explained. Yeah.
And it's just now that
there was Israel, and there's born again Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Did Christ do this all at the cross? He says, "I've kept all that Thou've given me." I mean, that was past, present, and future. He's outside of this timeline. So yeah, He's kept them all 12 baskets. He's got all the fragments.
Right.
But we still, we still are in this timeline. It's something that the mind can't really comprehend. We've got our work to do, it's Israel, and then there's born again Israel. And it really fits the whole pattern all through the Bible, really. You have so many other subjects.
Let me ask you this, Bill. As far as the new and everlasting covenant, I mean, that was presented at the time that Jacob became Israel. Is that right? I'm just asking you right now. I mean, that was, the prophecies about the new and everlasting covenant, that the law would be written on Israel's heart. And then Jesus confirmed it at the cross. Is that right?
Yeah, actually, the everlasting covenant was first mentioned, I think, in Genesis chapter 9.
Okay.
I'm going to pull it up real quick. I think it was Genesis 9.
And how do you tie that into the Abrahamic covenant?
Well, I think that the everlasting covenant was always there. The Abrahamic covenant was just... the flesh covenant was just obviously always temporary. It was never spoken of to be everlasting. I believe it was just an avenue to bring about Jesus' birth.
Yeah, right.
I'm looking for that everlasting covenant.
And I didn't mean to put you on the spot right now. I just, we've got so much going on, and normally it would be something I'd ask you during the week or something, but it's just... the covenant is so important, and because, I'm equating the covenant with the gospel. I mean, in my mind now, and I see that the Antichrist system has corrupted the covenant, has corrupted the gospel. And this is what we have today.
Right.
Gospel.
They've done it with flatteries, like you said so many times.
Yeah, and what is the gospel? But it's the covenant. It's the good news. And, it's something that as Christians, we don't hold on to, I think, as we should, the covenant, our covenant relationship with God, and if-then relationship. If we, humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face, He will heal our land, and it's always an if-then situation, and this comes against this, I'm calling it the all-you-have-to-do gospel, because I've been hearing
Jesus, Jesus confirmed that covenant when He walked the earth in His ministry. And by fulfilling the law and everything that He did, He sealed the covenant on the cross with His blood.
Wow.
Now, in Genesis chapter 9:16 is the first time it's mentioned. And it says, "And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth." That's a big verse.
Yeah,
and it goes from Genesis to Revelation, audience. The proper rendering of Scripture. There, the apostate churches do not preach Jesus Christ. They preach a different gospel, and it's a lot of times it's tied to flesh or it's tied to a man. When I say apostate, that could be a Muslim church. That could be a Buddhist church, and God forbid that we point the finger at them. All we can do is preach our Lord Jesus Christ and this gospel. But we're told at this time, in 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, It is the power of God. And if you, scripture upon scripture audience tells you from the cross and Pentecost, the gift of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, it is revealed through the Holy Spirit and the Word, in entering into covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ, and repentance of sins and salvation, where you now have, Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And if you are the temple of the Lord and you're comforted by the Holy Ghost, then you understand the proper rendering of scriptures. And prophetically, when we're looking at Revelation, and Pete, I hope to have a comment from you, because you've done some the prophetic work that you've done on the scriptures. It tells a different story than the apostate teaching. And it tells a story that this is a spiritual construct, and that the parables and samples and the metaphors are as applied in scriptures through the Word, are telling us that Revelation is happening now in our generation, and that we're very far, far behind as far as the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Prophecy live, so to speak.
Well, yeah, I this is Pete. I clearly think we're, I've done videos on them, and, you know, it goes back, what set me on this path, I've really never, this thing that I've written videos about, clearly, certainly have had some influence with some other teachers and preachers, but I really felt the Spirit of God led me into that, and, it all came about from really having my eyes open to the spiritual, the metaphoric language. And particularly, and I think this is something that most people don't really, kind of have this attitude of dismissing the Old Testament. You know, it's like, oh, that's the Old Testament. Just don't talk about that. Let's not talk about New Testament. But yet there's many, obviously Jesus referred back to the Old Testament in many cases. Many of the apostles' writings were almost word for word taken out of the Old Testament. And there's one particular passage in Acts 13, that really kind of, once that really got settled in my heart, I went back to the prophets and things started coming together. So I think it's Acts 13:40. It says, behold you, I'm speaking from memory here, behold you scoffers and mockers, lest the things spoken in the prophets come upon you. So, the prophets have a lot of, there's a lot of doom and gloom spoken about in the prophets. There's also a lot of blessings too, don't get me wrong, but there's a lot of doom and gloom, a lot of judgment, a lot of wrath. And that passage there in Acts 13 was saying, oh, you scoffers and mockers, you can scoff and mock all you want, but if you don't change your heart, you don't walk in covenant, things spoken in the prophets are going to come upon you. Well, what was spoken about in the prophets? It's the powers of darkness being released, the army of, by God to come, discipline and bring wrath and judge the sons of disobedience. It spoke about the overtaking of the cities, the citadels, the towers, that's the church. It spoke about, all those, that was a constant theme about if people walk in rebellion, you're gonna endure the wrath of God, both here and now and the age to come. And so, I saw that, and if you apply in almost, I don't want to say everything, but most of the things that John wrote about in that revelation, you can find very similar things elsewhere, in the prophets. You talk about the sun and the moon, is there a third of the moon's turn, blood, and that's a lot of that stuff's in Isaiah. And you can go, or Joel, and you guys have done a lot of studies of Joel, so you can look at those things, and you look at the locusts are talking about, and the horses, what are horses? I like to go read Isaiah 31, or, it's a great chapter, helps explain to you what horses are, And it's just, so all, the prophets, Jesus spoke everything in parable in the New Testament, we know that. But if you go into, I think it's, what is it, Hosea 12:10, this is off memory here, even in there it says that basically the things in the prophets are all spoken in parable. So basically, what people have to realize is that, guess who was speaking in the prophets? Jesus. He's the king. You go see, it calls the king in Isaiah 6. It calls the king, it says in, I think, the end of Jeremiah 51, it says, so says the King of Kings. So it's, those are the words of Jesus. And so we rightfully so put so much, we elevate the Gospels as we absolutely should, but we don't realize if you're going to really have a red letter Bible, almost all the prophets would be read too. And those are the words of Jesus spoken through his prophets. And he said, I did not come to abolish the law or the prophets. And so I got off a little track here, but my point is if you really dive into the prophets and you have just a basic understanding of this metaphoric language, then you're going to start to see that's not just a history lesson that Isaiah and Jeremiah and Joel wrote about. They're talking about the day of the Lord. They were talking about both his coming, his first coming, and his second coming. So then if you can get to understand the prophets in this language, then you go open up Revelation, and guess what? You have a different book. Now it's starting to make some sense, and I'm by no means saying that I've figured it all out. I have not, and I don't think anybody's figured it all out, but certainly some parts of it have become crystal clear. They've been confirmed by many, many confirming witnesses in terms of seeing that this is exactly what was said back here in the prophets. So clearly we are very well into the book of Revelation, and people keep saying, when's the first seal going to open? I mean, I think I clearly think they're all open. I think we're well past the seals being open. They were the spirits of Antichrist were already in the world back when the Apostle John wrote his book 2,000 years ago. So we don't have time to get into all that, but my point is
say they were they went out from us, but they were not among, or they went out they were not of us, but they were among us, or whatever. And yeah, they were already then, right?
Yeah. So
you talk about Jesus speaking as the King there. The Holy Spirit, he says, he will guide you into all truth, everything which I said, and that includes the prophets too, like you mentioned, Pete. Everything Jesus said in the books of the prophets. The Holy Spirit is what guides you to that.
Well, Hosea 12:10 says, I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. I mean, this is exactly what Pete's talking about. It's not, it's no secret. But it's it is cryptic. It's not, this is a verse that's hidden in there in Hosea. Pete, you're the one that brought this to my attention a couple months ago on Facebook. I mean, there it is right there, right? It's an exact account of the fact that the Lord used metaphors to teach.
Right, he said in the New Testament, nobody debates it in the parables, but it applies to the prophets.
Yes, the prophets, I consider it as a paraphrase audience, that when you think of the prophets, they were prophesying before time because they're of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were prophesying in their lifetime. And they're prophesying now. And spiritually, these similitudes that were to use Old Testament Israel and coming under the spiritual construct, it resembles what's going on now. And it's likened unto what's going on now. And we should consider the similitudes of Old Testament Israel and the prophets and apply them to our lives and our generation, and we have a very not one jot, one not tittle has been changed.
No.
Pete?
Well, amen. Yeah, I mean, to me, that was a big breakthrough, and once I saw that, I can tell you, that's when Scripture came alive to me. I got a new Bible, and I just, with a little understanding, reading, understanding this is no longer a history book. Well, I had a new Bible, and it was just, Spirit of God has just continued to bless me, and, you just got a hunger and thirst for this word. It's no longer just a nice historical account of what happened 2,000 years ago. It's a lesson, it's a life lesson, and a prophecy of what we're going to endure, here, in these end times. And so, it's been a big blessing to me, and I've tried to share some of that and the things I've done. And clearly, as a man, I've gotten some things wrong. I've changed my opinion here and there on some things. And as I always tell you, I tell people don't follow no man. You follow the Jesus in a man. So if you don't, if you don't have confirmation, and clearly don't eat anything, take it to heart that the Spirit of God didn't confirm to you. You know, and that's certainly how we have to guard our hearts from that, and even from men of the best intentions, such as I would call myself. I'm just a man, but I definitely believe we're very late in the game, and you know, Jesus said he's going to come like a thief. And we talked about this in the pre-show. I think it's so silly that people want to look for they think they're going to be able to read a newspaper. It says Israel breaks ground on new temple, and it has a picture of people all the dignitaries with a shovel in their hand. And they're going to count off 7 years. They're going to figure it out that way. Well, no, he's going to come like a thief. He's going to come as a thief in the night when nobody's looking for him. And we're going to know the season. And we're in that season in my mind, but nobody's going to know that day or hour. Because so we just got to make sure we're ready and standing on the rock, not be knocked off the rock by all this fear mongering of other stuff and all these false gospels and. You know, many will come and many will be deceived, said Jesus in Matthew 24:5. That was the one sign of the end. Wasn't signs, and they asked tell us what the sign of the end is. He basically said there's gonna be a whole lot of deceivers deceiving a whole lot of people. And guess what? We're there.
That's for sure.
And audience, a simple analogy and parable you could be applied to earthquake. And what the scriptures revealed is earthquake is equated to tribulation. So you can use a common sense approach to this. If you're a new Christian and you're just learning that, the church that you just came out of, come out of her, come unto me, our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's revealed to you that they have been preaching a different doctrine and a different gospel. And now their teaching to you is foolishness because you are in the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ and you've studied yourself approved, then you have experienced the tribulation on one level because you're the holy temple of the Lord. But that earthquake is applied in the physical that people are looking for. It's not there. It's happening all the time. So on one level is the part of the deception is they're looking for a world holocaust of great earthquakes in divers places. Well, those earthquakes are the tribulations for the holy temples of our Lord Jesus Christ.
And I see the connection with the tribulation with the storm. You know, all the metaphors the Lord uses as far as the lightning. You know, which we equate as the truth. You know, and what does the lightning bring? It brings thunder. You know, the voices, it talks about the voices and the thunder. I see that as the voices of the remnant, the servants and prophets, you know, speaking truth, you know, into the harlot church. And it's the collision of the truth and the lies, you know, that causes this earthquake as the hail sweeps away the lies. Another metaphor of the storm that comes from the Spirit, you know, because we see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit as a storm. You know, in Acts chapter 2, it says, you know, the whole house shook, you know, when the Spirit of the Lord came in. And it's like the Spirit, when it's poured out in wrath and in truth. You know, it reveals the truth to God's servants, and it also brings tribulation and wrath to his the serpents and scorpions. It's all these metaphors that are there. And I, you know, one quick note I wanted to say too. You know, when Pete was talking before, you know, what a blessing it was when we did find you, Pete. And you know, we found you were just confirming a lot of the metaphors that we came to understand. And you know, a lot of our understanding came out of the third day studies and the work that Sue and Randy had done. But then to hear you from a whole nother, no connection at all. You know, coming up with the same stuff, and it was very, very edifying to see the Lord working in you the same way he had done with us, and, you know, how much we, you know, gleaned from your work, and it's just been really just a pleasure, Pete, you know, having you as a friend and, you know, working together as we just, are all about the Lord's business, putting this truth out into this crazy world, and it is definitely causing the earthquake, but it's a pleasure, you know, to count you as a brother there, buddy.
Well, praise God. You know, he's good, and he gives us confirming witnesses, and that's exactly what you guys were to me, and hopefully I was to you to some extent, that you know you're not crazy. When stuff starts to really start to, your eyes start getting open, and just the this maze just starts to understand it, and just the revelation knowledge flows through you by the Spirit of God. It's just the devil's going to be right there saying you're a nutcase, you're crazy, you're going against the tradition, that's not right, and then to have the confirming witnesses totally unrelated to come back and see the same thing as led by the Spirit. It's just an awesome thing that God's good, and it's going to give us those witnesses, so we will stick together. Birds of a feather will flock together, I guess they say.
Yes.
But I see one thing that's kind of come clear in my mind. I look at the Old Testament as kind of all in physical. Stuff was all physical stories that, they really happened. And so I'm not by any means suggesting these events didn't happen. Of course they happened, but the whole New Testament is about walking in the Spirit. And so those examples and everything in the Old Testament was there to prepare us for the new covenant of walking in the Spirit. And so, that's why you read, 1 Corinthians 10, you think the Old Testament doesn't apply to you. I think it's another good place to go read. Where those things, all the doom and gloom, the bad news, the judgment of God was there as examples to us to help keep us on the narrow path. But the New Testament is about Spirit. So like the possessing the land in the Old Testament, it was about, physically crossing a river and going into a land and clearing that land of an enemy. Well, in the spiritual, we still have to cross a river. That river is the powers of darkness. We got to get past the enemy. We come into the land. And the land's our hearts. Our hearts are the land. So we've got to clear that land of all the enemy. Obviously, Jesus will do that as long as we believe in him. The circumcision of the heart is a work of God, not a work of the flesh. But we've got to get past, we've got to overcome. We've got to cross the river to get there, come through the wilderness and get across that river. Just like the whole Israelite Exodus story, we got to go through that in the Spirit. And then we get into that, we possess that land. That's what God wants us to enter into and possess the land, be in rest, the rest of Jesus Christ. That's what he wants. And that's a spiritual earthquake. So the land, earthquakes affect the land. So when we're having talk about earthquakes, I look at that almost, I'm not sure there's going to be physical earthquakes. I look at those passages speaking about, I'm going to once again shake the nations and shake the heavens and so everything that cannot be shaken, everything that cannot be shaken will remain. So everything that can be shaken, God's going to shake off the rock. He's going to expose what's not standing on Jesus Christ. And so those are the trials and tribulations, the furnace of afflictions that we all have to go through. Our hearts have to go through. God's going to test our faith. He's a jealous God. He's going to continually test us, just as he did his own son, Jesus Christ. And so we're going to have these trials and tribulations, and we just got to stand there and, come through the fire, trust in God. And, so we're going to see many earthquakes. So all these earthquakes going on now, there's a lot of them going on in the natural, but there's a whole lot more in the spiritual, where, the economy, the things you guys are talking about, the default, the real estate market, the job market, the half this.
Look at all the new diseases in the last 60, 70 years even.
Oh, yeah. Rapid, all these itises.
Rapid rise in cancer, diabetes,
Alzheimer's.
Yeah, these are all part of the earthquakes.
Yeah, I go back.
I liken it to 2 Thessalonians, where Paul said the same thing. He said, "Be not deceived." He says, "Not shaken in mind nor troubled." In 2 Thessalonians 2.
Go ahead, Bill or Pete.
Oh. That's all I wanted to say. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I just kind of just going off in no order here, but I see a lot of earthquakes going on. I've gone through some of my own, and if we get into a war and if there really is a physical famine, those are going to be tests. They're going to test a lot of people's faith. We're all having to scramble for food. Well, that's going to be a good indication who's really walking with Jesus and who's not.
Absolutely.
Think about that. I hope it doesn't come to that, but it very well may be, even in this country, where, the things we take for granted, the people are going to, wax worse and worse. And, if you can't read the news, you can see how evil things are. But, how much darker can it get? I think I've said that before in some videos. But
that's what I say, too.
But it probably could get a whole lot more if I think about it. I mean, we start, I've got to worry about my neighbor come over here to shoot me in the head to get a loaf of bread. Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, clearly those are going to be the ultimate earthquakes, spiritual shakings, the test. But, you know, clearly
we've
Abraham.
We've never had an entitlement mentality like this today, where people are just, they're brought up thinking they're entitled. And so what, absolutely. You know, now when they don't get what they think they're entitled to, what are the repercussions of that, you know? And that's where their consciousness becomes seared with a hot iron, you know? And,
well, if people don't realize, you know, we've talked about this, the blessings and curses, the sword, I view the sword as the two sides being blessings and curses, and, you know, so the love of God, the blessings of God to one side, the judgment and the wrath to the other. And people don't want to talk about that other side. They just like to take the one side and look at it from that perspective. But, you know, God, you know, God's in control. And, you know, I've taken a lot of heat from some people that, you know, they think that God's lost control of the enemy. They think that that birds do fall from the sky outside of the will of the Father. And I think Jesus said the opposite. So I know that God, if anything happens on this earth, you can say, you know, God did it. I mean, you can say he allowed it if it makes you feel better. And that's okay. I'm okay with that. But God is in control, and nothing happens that he doesn't allow and ordain. It's, you know, he's an all-powerful, controlling God. And he said, you know, back in Deuteronomy that if you don't walk in my covenant, you know, here's what I'm going to send all these things against you. I'm going to send the locust. I'm going to send sicknesses and disease. I'm going to strike you with madness. That might be, you know, Alzheimer's. I don't, and I'm not suggesting by any means that all sickness is because of rebellion to God, but a lot of it could be, that, you know, and so you've got to remember that, you know, I had this conversation with my wife tonight that, her ladies were debating this about, does God send sicknesses? And he absolutely does. You know, Jesus, healed a blind man in John 9, and the disciples, they knew it back then. They said, hey, who sinned, this man or his parents? Because I knew that the judgment of God for sin was, in fact, sicknesses and handicaps and things, that was, in fact, true. And Jesus said, in this case, neither, that he was made, you know, blind so the glory of God could be made manifest. I'm just speaking from memory here. And, you know, so I might, don't twist my words here, because I know that clearly I'm not sitting there saying God's sitting there handing out, you know, diseases to people, but clearly, you know, he is in control, and that is a consequence for rebellion, and obviously we need to examine ourselves, and you know he who strikes you with plagues is also the one that heals you. And so all he's trying to do is he's a jealous, holy God. He's trying to turn the hearts of his people back to him, and sometimes I believe he uses sicknesses and disease to do that.
And I'd just like to interject, audience. So we look at the similitudes, the analogies, and the parables, and you come to the conclusion that this great earthquake that everybody's waiting for so that they could be raptured or they can reign and rule with our Lord Jesus Christ in 1,000 years in another time and space doesn't actually mean that. We find in Acts 16:26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and every man's bands were loosened. Well, in the context of Scripture, audience, the commotion is earthquake. It's equated to a commotion. It's a tempest. It's to cause to tremble, figuratively to throw into a tremor, or fear, or concern, move, quake, shake. Okay, so under the proper rendering of Scripture, it doesn't mean the physical manifestation of an earthquake. It's not going to be the New Madrid fault. It's a commotion caused by the Lord for you to understand a spiritual construct. And the earthquake that happens to you because you're the temptation of the Lord shakes the foundations of the prison that you're in. If you're not in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ and you hear the word, you're shaken as if an earthquake. And the good news is, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosened.
He came to set the captives free.
And not only are you saved through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord tells us that, and the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light. He called for a light, audience, the light of our Lord Jesus Christ, and sprang in, and came to trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And the most
was that the guard there, Bob?
Yes.
And he was the one, I think, that wasn't he told that if they escaped that they was going to kill him?
They were going to kill him.
Yeah. And so, you know, Paul had so much love for that guy right there. And what a beautiful story, huh?
And the most important, audience, for you to understand this proper rendering of the metaphor, the example, the similitude of earthquake, is the answer to all of our prayers, the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's stated here in 16:31, "And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Now, audience, the world preaches a earthquake, a New Madrid fault, a solar flare, an application of the world is going to end somewhere on 1,000 different ways. But if you're told by our Lord Jesus Christ that no sign will be given this evil and adulterous generation, you know that's going to be the truth. And no sign will be given. Now, there's always been earthquakes. Gentlemen, anything wrong with the proper rendering of Scripture?
No, I think the earthquakes escalated at the flood. The whole world changed enormously at the flood. That was the second time that God cursed the world, or cursed the earth, excuse me. And we're still suffering from that curse of the earth is all the way back. That's why we have earthquakes, volcanoes, many other things that happened during that cursing, that second cursing of the earth in Genesis chapter 7.
And these foundations, you have to remember who was in the prison, audience. Satan. He was locked in the prison.
Right, he's been bound, right.
Now everything's off now.
Because the gospel's diminished. The gospel message has been diminished, and this is why Satan has been unleashed from the bottomless pit, because the pure gospel message is all but lost in the harlot church today. But God, as always, has always preserved, you know, a remnant, and this is the remnant that is speaking the truth. And we're seeing as the truth is spoken into this harlot religious system, it causes an earthquake. It causes division. You know, this is the tribulation, and it's playing out in the spiritual right now. And you know, we struggle so much with the times and the 1260 days and the 3.5 years and all that, and it's very challenging. But I see the fifth trumpet is just raging right now. I see that the scorpion, the locusts, that come out of the smoke of the bottomless pit are controlling the church. You know, it's the locust army that we see in Joel. You know, it's just it's the false doctrine that is controlling the harlot religious system, and it's a plague. It's the plague of locusts. That is, it's the judgment. The fifth trumpet is the first woe. Excuse me, and it's judgment. See, this is what the most amazing thing is that the Lord's judgment comes from within His house. He uses His own house to carry out its own. He allows the house of God to judge itself. This is the work that the Lord. If He would tell us, we wouldn't believe it.
Pete.
Well, I just, you know, this has all been a great conversation. I think that, I guess the bottom line is, I don't think any of us have it all figured out on some of these complex passages. But I believe that you know, we just got to keep searching it out. Clearly, we're late into the book, and I think we're, you know, quite honestly, I think we're past the fifth trumpet, Chris. You know, but I don't.
Yeah, I can see that for sure, Pete. I appreciate that. You know, it's just that I probably don't understand it like you do as far as that goes. I just really am understanding the fifth trumpet right now. I'm just starting to venture into this understanding the sixth trumpet. Yeah, I think you could be very well right, buddy.
Yeah, and I spoke, you know, I see about the, you know, the judgment begins at the house of God, and you know, one of the last things I did in the prophecy realm was several months ago was on the vile judgments or the bowl judgments, and, you know, I see those, you know, the sores are spiritual sores, they're, you know, poured out, the, you know, I'm trying to think of, you know, think of the order of those, but those, I, in the spiritual, looking at the metaphoric language, you know, people are looking for literal, you know, fireballs from heaven to come down. Are literally thinking about men hiding in rocks and caves to avoid them. And so I look at that and say, no, religion's the mountains. I can go back and show you where mountains are referenced many, many times as places men takes get a false security. They don't go to Mount Zion. They go to the other mountains, and they hang out in the mountains, and they hide in the hills. They think that's going to protect them. And yet, when the judgments start raining down, you know, the stained glass and steeples on top of buildings doesn't stop the judgment of God.
Right. Actually, Peter 1:4-17 says, "For the time is come that the judgment must begin at the house of God." So it was already then there. For the time is come, Peter says.
Yeah.
So, yeah, is there going to be a final recapitulation of it? I quite assume there is, yes, but it's been an ongoing Armageddon process.
You know, see, the islands and mountains will disappear, and, you mm-hmm. know, so it's going to expose, the light's going to, you know, make all the little, you know, those
places, the religious high places.
The religious high places are going to chop them down, I think it says in Zechariah, and, you know, so they're all going to be rolled up, they're going to disappear, and everybody's going to be naked, standing in front of God. I mean, that's what that's really talking about in the way I look at it.
I think that's a very good understanding that you have there.
And, you know, again, but that's not good. And it goes back to that's not the most essential thing. So we could all be dead wrong on this end time prophecy, our understanding of that. But, you know, the basics are, we're standing on the foundation of Jesus is our Lord, and we've turned our heart over to Him, and you know, we're letting the Spirit of God, we're following that Spirit, we're letting that Spirit sanctify and circumcise our heart to get the deeds of the flesh. That list that's there in Galatians 5:19, pride, jealousy, anger, strife, contention. As long as those things have been taken out of our heart, we put them to death. That's walking in covenant. Walking, this is a gospel of love. It's, the covenant is walking. It's walking love or be destroyed. That's it in a nutshell. So I've learned a lot of things. We won't go into it in this show, but certainly been through some, Pharisee type moments of myself and my maturity as a Christian. And, the love gospel is correct. Obviously, you can err that side and easy believism and, live like the world and live like the devil. That's not love. That's deception. But we do have to walk in love, and if we don't walk in love, I mean, God says He's going to destroy you. That's exactly what it says in the prophets.
Amen.
Amen.
And audience, this is again, you're looking at the perspective of being in the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's sobering. Those are some sobering multimedia videos and audios that you have, Pete.
They sure are.
And they're sobering in the fact that the teaching of the gospel found in them, it will shake yourself. And audience, I encourage you, these are very meat of scripture, proper renderings of scripture, that we looked to in our own studies and found it a very edifying but very sobering. And it is, we are not doom and gloom. Most of the time, I really don't struggle with the times. I only struggle with finding the time to do the will of the Lord. and also struggle with being a good steward of my house and having my house in order. But in 1 Corinthians 13:13, you know, this is what I'm told to do. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And all through the scripture, audience, you're going to you see the great charity and love of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that love is affection and benevolence. It's a love feast. It's a feast of charity. It's dear and it's love. And they can't preach that in your heart. And that heart, that peace that our Lord has dwells in your heart, even though you see the times and the season as being late, and our best man flawed study of scriptures is an indication that, you know, the Holy Spirit is revealing a very different story than is being told the world. And we're told that the preaching of our Lord Jesus Christ, Christ crucified, our Lord crucified, is foolishness to everybody else. Bill?
Yes, considered foolishness, right. I agree with that. I mean, that's what we're seeing all around us. And, you know, we as Christians need to be walking the walk in covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. And, I mean, everybody wants a hero today. Everybody has to have a hero. Everybody has to have role models now. I'm not saying that good aunts and uncles and good fathers and families absolutely with godly men can be role models, yes, but they're looking everywhere but Jesus Christ for a role model. That's the last one on the list that they want for a role model.
Chris?
Amen. And then in this time where, we're living 2 Timothy chapter 3, you know, where they're just... you know, lovers of themselves, high-minded, lovers of pleasure. And, you know, this is the entitlement that has come, that Bill said, you know, out of the pale horse. You know, we see the manifestation of this pale horse out of the end of the World War II and the 1947-48 studies that we've done, and all the attention we give to the spiritual. This is one physical manifestation that I hold on to, knowing of the times we're in. And we've got this, Obama, our fearless leader, preaching the 46th Psalm. You know, this guy's got no right to handle the Word of God, you know, than, the man in the moon. And here he is out there. He doesn't even know what he's saying. He mispronounced it. I remember I heard him read it on YouTube. The word was bow, and he pronounced it bow. You know, the guy's just reading it off the teleprompter. Because he was told to, and it's a cryptic message. Do I understand it? No, but I do know that it was a message, and it just tells me in my heart that this is just the times and the seasons to be ready. And he comes as a thief in the night, and I'm telling you, this thing is so far along that few people realize. And I often question how could the deception get any worse, when I see the masses so thoroughly deceived. But the scripture does say that the Lord restores the years that the locusts have eaten. And we see the locusts as the false doctrine that has replaced the truth. But we do see that the truth wins out in the end for God's elect. And this is what we're seeing today, the struggle of the truth and the lies as they collide. The wheat and the tares are separated on this threshing floor of deception. And, it's just the only way we can overcome is by having that word hidden in our heart, and knowing the Lord Jesus Christ intimately, knowing him so that he doesn't tell us to depart when we stand before him, proclaiming, that we prophesied in his name and cast out demons in his name, when he says he never knew us. He never had an intimate relationship with us. Because he knew not from whence we were. In other words, we weren't positioned properly. We weren't on the right side of the plumb line. We weren't in the truth. We weren't in the truth. We were making lies.
We weren't in the covenant.
We weren't in covenant. Amen, Brother Bill. That's exactly right. We weren't in covenant relationship with him. And that's what matters. It's not about, all you gotta do gospel. All you gotta do is believe. We're wretched sinners and, we have power to tread on serpents and scorpions. We have been purchased out of slavery to sin. You know, we can have victory over sin. Yes, we fall. Yes, we sin, but we have the immediate ability to repent and to ask for forgiveness and to pick ourselves up and keep moving in victory because, we are ruling and reigning. We're not ruling and reigning while we're in bondage to sin. And, that's it. That's what I have to say tonight, and I just love everybody, all our audience that supports us, and just want to thank you, Pete, for being with us tonight, and what a great, encouragement you are. And, you mentioned that you're getting ready to, post some writing. You're getting ready to hit the publish button on your blog, and I heard that, and I said, that's exciting. So I'll be anxiously, waiting for that. And again, point the listeners to truthinscripture.com because it's certainly a place that I, find, edification in. And thank you, Pete.
Brother Bill.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I enjoyed so much having Pete with us here this evening. It was very much a blessing. And, put your trust in Lord Jesus Christ. Don't build your foundation on Watchman Weekly. Don't build your foundation on Third Day Studies. Don't build your foundation on anything but the rock. We're just men. We're trying to do the best we can as the Lord is guiding us. We're not infallible. And, I don't know if I said that right, but we're flawed, and we're just we get what we understanding we have and we pass it along. And certainly, if I make any kind of errors, I like to come back and correct them, or I'll have one of the brothers show me here. You made a mistake, or you weren't understanding this right, or you were. And I'm very blessed by that, and that's why we got to grab onto Jesus's robe as tight as we can and build. Everything on the rock, because if it's not on that, it's just going to be washed away.
Amen.
Brother Pete.
I just want to say, just speaking about ruling and reigning, let me just say I was very happy to be here. Thanks for having me on, guys. It's I've been on the pre-show many times with you, and always enjoyed the dialogue. We need to do it more often, and certainly it's just a privilege here, and I'd love to share our faith and our understanding of Scripture with anybody and everybody I can all the time. I wish more people were interested in talking about it. But let me just leave you with one of my thoughts, thinking about ruling and reigning. And, if I go back to the Isaiah's vision in the throne room in Isaiah 6, he was in the room there, and Jesus quoted this passage a couple times, but it's kind of come back to what I think what we're trying to do here in our ministries. It'd be up to God to judge us whether we're doing a good job, but we'll certainly be accountable for what we say and what we teach and what we preach. But I said it's from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. It says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. And he said, go and tell these people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. And, you go on, it talks about, basically talks about the people are going to be deceived, and they're going to be asleep. God, sends a spirit of stupor, asleep on them. And all we're trying to do, and all I'm trying to do, and I've delivered the message in many mistaken ways, is to try to wake people up that the same grace and mercy has been shown to me. I want to share that with people. And I want to share. I got to live it. And preaching, that's one thing. You got to live what you preach. Otherwise, you're just a hypocrite. But that's what I'm trying to do. And part of what I'm going to be doing in my blog site or videos is trying to return more to the basics and just get the basic message. And I'm kind of going to put prophecy aside for a time. But so I think a lot of people are just missing the basics, the foundation of what faith is, and their ears are heavy, their eyes are shut. They think they understand, but they don't. And so I want to deliver that message to them. I know that's what you guys are doing as well. And we just got to remember to do it in the spirit of Galatians 6:1 about we do it with gentleness and in love, you know, lest we ourselves be tempted and led astray by, you know, feelings of pride and things of that sort. So, anyway, I've looked at this passage. It's brought me to tears before. It's like, you know, the fact that we've had our eyes opened. You know, here I am, God, send me. You know, so send me, God. You know, I'll go wherever you lead me, whether that's in cyberspace or to Alaska or whatever. I'm here to follow you, and hopefully we'll only speak and say what the Lord has put on my heart, and that'll, you know, that's certainly just sage advice for all of us to stay within the will of the Lord. So thanks again for having me, guys, and I look forward to next time.
Always a pleasure, Pete. Always a pleasure. Audience, in closing, John 15:10. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Audience, with all the doom and gloom going on, the proper rendering of Scripture, if we take a physical look, we're behind. If we take a spiritual look, we're pretty much right on time. And the simple parables and analogies that we work very hard on, I could say I couldn't decipher it myself. Bill?
No, I agree.
Chris?
No.
Pete?
Nope.
So the best we can do is it's what's given to us through our belief and our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, who we point you to, and not us. The flesh cannot decipher the true meaning of the Word of God and the covenant of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we hope you see this, audience, and live it. This is Bob Garrity for special guest Pete Wilson at truthandscripture.com, Bill Johnson, and Chris Ardern. Good night. My strength.